There we go. Well, I'll tell you what, it's more than an honor to get to be here with everybody this morning. And I'm going to talk about your pastors for a couple of minutes. I'm going to talk about them the whole time because we're going to do some little Bible today. But I'm going to talk about them because they are two of the most amazing people that I've ever known. And like for me to be here today, I am like over the top, amped, and like charged. And just excited about this, not just to get to preach, but Ben and Rebecca have known me, well, I guess since I was probably 16. I mean, you knew me before then, but you really started. They were my youth pastors. They saw me in some of my close to best. They saw me in quite a few of my worst, and still like me now, which is really really nice. But they are people who have they've spoken into my life. They're the ones that did the pre-marriage counseling for my wife and I. You know, 11 years plus later, we're still married, so that's working out pretty good. And but I'd say what they are incredible people, because here's the deal: they left everything that they have ever known to obey the voice of God. They left their family, they left their beautiful, wonderful church back in Portland. They left their friends, they left security, they left comfort. Why? Because they had something in their hearts that God put there, and they were crazy enough, literally, to say, okay, yep. I'll go do that. And just, you know, listening to Pastor Ben talk about just the city, and you would think, and talking to them, that this is the city where Jesus will return when he returns. He's like, it's coming to Baltimore. We all know. He's going to come on a Sunday, watch a Ravens game, and then on Monday we're all going to be raptured back to heaven. And which is hard for me because I'm a Redskins fan. Don't hate me yet. Don't hate me yet. No, it's okay. And we're done. Hey, no. But I just want to tell you that for me to sit here today, to participate with you in worship, to be a part of City Bible Church here in Baltimore is so exciting, because it's seeing the birth take place of something happen that started with a thought. It started with a dream. It started with, you know, they're not here because they are ambitious, trying to make a name for themselves. They're here because they're crazy enough to listen to the voice of their Heavenly Father and say, okay, I'll do that. And you know what? I think that's something that I have and myself as a result of their influence in my life, because my wife and I, she's a Northwest girl. She was raised just outside of the Seattle area as well as, and then moved later to Eugene, Oregon. I'm a Richmond, Virginia boy, born and raised there my whole life. My parents are here today, and they're still serving as elders and leadership at the church where literally I was born into the church, not at the church, but born into the church. And that would have been difficult, but, yeah, my mom was like, yes, yes, it would have been. and so I was crazy enough to kind of think that myself, that if God would speak something to you, that all you had to do was say, okay, and go do it, and it would happen. You know, I was crazy enough to believe that, and I think it's because for a large degree, I saw that in them as they spoke to me and they challenged me. And one fun time, I was in this kind of like this hands-on, one-on-one discipleship thing with Pastor Ben. And he, you know, the thing I love about Pastor Ben is he's loving, he's compassionate, but I tell you what, he's hardcore too. He's way hardcore, you know. And so, you know, we were going through this kind of discipleship material, and I showed up in his office one day, and I had not done the work that I was supposed to do from the last week to this week. You remember this? And I came in and I sat down in his office and I was ready. I was like, we're going to talk about life and have a good time. And Pastor Ben was like, so where's the work that you were supposed to do this week? I was like, oh man, I just didn't get it done, this week. But I'll get it done and we'll have it done next week. And I was like, can we talk about this thing? I had this question. And he was like, you know what? If you're not going to take God seriously in his time and do the stuff you're supposed to be doing for him, then I don't have time to mess with you right now. And he's like, so I'll see you next week. And I just sat there for a couple minutes. I'm like, so I'm done. Are we done? I was like, we're done right now. I was like, okay, lesson learned. And I didn't miss it. I took it serious. But just stuff like that, because that put something in me, not just to be diligent with time and responsible, but to take the Lord seriously, to take His time seriously, to take seriously the things that God wants to do in you in a moment. There are things that we miss in the kingdom of God in a moment because we tell God we'll do it later. And He's like, there is no later. I'm trying to get you. I have an open window of opportunity in this moment. I'm speaking to you now. So step out in faith and step out in courage, step out in boldness and act on what I'm asking you to do. And I think that's what they've done is they've literally taken their children. They've moved way away from their family and they planted themselves here. You know, the Psalms talk about planting yourself in a place where you allow your roots to go down and where you get strong, and it doesn't matter whether it's the wind or the heat, which there's plenty of that, but you will always be producing fruit. Good. And they've planted themselves are here, and they're passionate. And to see your faces, to look out and see your faces, is for me to be excited and know that City Bible Church Baltimore is not just a dream now, it's a reality. Amen. And you are City Bible Church Baltimore. These are your pastors. And I tell you, if you've just been kind of coming recently and checking it out, I just want to encourage you as an outside person here serving today, man, get plugged in. Let those roots go down as deep as the Lord will let you and get involved. If you're here for a little bit of time, do what you can while you're here. But this is something I believe that is going to change the face, not just of Baltimore, but of the Mid-Atlantic region, of the East Coast. Something is going to come out of this church. I believe it with all my heart that is going to literally change the world. And so with that said, why don't we turn with me to the book of 1 John. If you have a Bible with you, it's towards the end, before Revelation. 1 John, I'm going to go to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You can look it up on your smartphone. How many of you have, like, you have a smartphone? You have YouVersion on? Man, I tell you what, if you have a smartphone, it's a free app. It's amazing. Even in Montana, it blows me away. I have more like, when I say, where's your Bible? I have more like lights, you know, like iPads, smartphones. I'm like, okay, that works. Free app. It's amazing. Called YOU version. So we're in 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to talk to you this morning. You got a slide up here that says, let love talk. And this is something that for us, for my wife and I, for our church in Montana, but I'm starting to see as well, everywhere that we go, that God is speaking something to the local church in America. There's an awakening, I think, that's taking place. And along with that awakening, I've also seen different elements where there's a shaking that is taking place, where it's almost like God's trying to get the church in America to say, hey, wake up. Get your eyes off of yourself. Look up at what I'm doing around you in your city, in your community, in the world around you, and become the church that I created you to be. I love Ryan's testimony talking about just the way that the Holy Spirit will waken you up and will elevate you in your spirit as well as in your body and your mind to the Lord at a whole nother realm, a whole nother level of power, a whole nother level of fruitfulness and fulfillment and success in the kingdom of God. And so when I talk about let love talk, it's not just some motivational speech about be nice to people, go out and do good things. It's letting what God has done inside of you come outside of you and speak to the people around you. And not just words. Now, I mean, I think everyone in this room has either been a giver or a receiver of empty words. Anybody? You don't have to admit it, you know, but I think we've all, in some way, shape, or form, we've either given empty words to people, empty promises or unfulfilled promises, or we've been the recipient of those things. And you know, in all honesty, if you've been the receiver, that hurts a little bit, doesn't it? You know, oh yeah, I'll do that for you, and then somebody never shows up, I'm going to call you, and they never call you, or, you know, something doesn't work out the way that you wanted it to work out. But you know what, the thing that I love about what God has done through Jesus Christ and the example that He set when He walked on this earth was that He didn't just do it so that we could receive it and then go on our merry way. That's the powerful thing about Jesus Christ. He didn't just come to give and then we receive and then we feel good about ourselves and then we go off on life, live happily ever after and do whatever we want to do. I'm a firm believer that every single thing that Jesus came to do wasn't just for us to receive, but was to impart something into us so that we could go out and do the same things that Jesus had done for us. Amen. I think all of us in different elements, we can think of different ways that, you know, even I would say beyond salvation, that's kind of the first initial connection with Jesus Christ, is realize that He came to save your soul from a real hell and to change your destiny immediately to point you towards a real heaven. But here's the deal. I'm saved. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, yet I'm not in heaven yet. I'm still here. Yep. And so if I'm still here, I think it's because God's given me purpose. God's given me purpose not just to go out and do what I want to do and live on my own, but He's given me purpose so that I can now, with Him living inside of me, go out and live the life that He created me to live from the foundations of the earth. Right. Man, I love, you get in Ephesians chapter 1 and you start reading through that first chapter. It is so powerful to see the love and the divine sovereignty of God. It says that from the foundations of the earth, you were chosen. And I don't think whenever the word you comes out, I don't think it's a generalization to the world's population. I feel like God is, He's calling you out by name, by family name, by location. Before the foundations of the earth, God saw you. He knew who you would be. He knew your challenges. He knew your failures. He knew your weaknesses. He knew your successes. And even within that, He still called you and chose you. So that's encouraging for me, because that lets me know that I don't have to get caught up in trying to achieve some level so that I can get God's attention. I don't have to become something before He can use me. All I have to do is say, okay, God, here I am. I'm messed up. I'm broken. I don't know sometimes up from down or left from right. But you know what? I know You called me, and I know You love me. I know You created me by name. I know there's purpose in my life because of You. So I don't know what You want me to do yet, God, but I'm here to do it. Amen. I love it. I was 15 years old at this youth camp when somebody preached a message from Isaiah. It's a very infamous portion of Scripture where, you know, where the Lord is speaking and kind of having this question, this conversation about, you know, who will we send? Who will go? And Isaiah chimes up. He didn't even really know fully what they were talking about. But he's like, I'll go. Here I am. Send me. I'll go. And I heard that when I was 15, and I responded to the Lord that night, and I prayed this prayer. I was like, God, you ever prayed something that, and said something to the Lord that you really didn't fully understand until later down the road, God kind of took, you know, at your word, and you're like, I did do that, didn't I? I said, I will, you know, I'm 15. I'm just like, anything, God, I will go anywhere. I'll do anything. And it was a great passionate moment. But then a time came when God said, hey, remember when you said you would do anything and go anywhere, that whole thing? I remember that. And he said, I wish it happened this simply, but in the long conversation with the Lord, he goes, I want you to go to Montana. I said, why would I go to Montana? Nobody lives in Montana. There's animals in Montana. There are large grizzly bears that eat people in Montana. And I had never been there before. I lived in Portland. I grew up in Richmond area. I've been all over the place, but I'd never been to Montana. My wife had never been there. And so literally, without even checking it out, we go out there and we become youth pastors at this church in Montana where we had never been before. We'd never met the church. We'd never met the people. And then within 3 months, we're pastoring the church. And just again, God was like, I was going to tell you about that, but now you know, so it's okay now. So go for it. And for about 3 years now, we've been pastoring this church in Montana, and it's been, in all honesty, it's been rocking our world. And it has caused me to really make sure that I know who Jesus is. Right. Not who I thought He is, not what I've heard that He is, but for myself, experiencing the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And so I went on this journey. For years I preached out of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it talks about being, you know, renewed in our thinking, transforming the way that we think and not behaving like the world, but being set. And I preached that for years, mainly telling people, you need to change. And then all of a sudden, God started telling me I needed to change. I was like, wait a minute, I'm a preacher. I don't need to change. He's like, you're crazy. You need to change. I'm like, okay, you're right. I do need to change. And He did. He started to change the way that I think. And even beyond that, I started to change the way that I see Jesus. And all of a sudden, I saw Jesus in a whole new light. Yeah. Because the love of God, Jesus Himself, began to talk to me. He began to let his love speak to me. I went through seasons while we've been there, even as Ryan kind of talked about in his testimony, I wanted to run as fast and as far as I possibly could. But I couldn't do that because God was speaking to me. He was downloading his love into my life for me. But I realized something. It wasn't just for me. God was putting something in me that he desired me to communicate, to demonstrate, to love, to speak through actions and everything to the people around me where God had placed me. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 16 through 19. Just a small part of this particular chapter, but it speaks volumes. It speaks so loudly. It says, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us." I mean, we can stop right there. That's a pretty powerful statement. We know what real love is, not because of a TV show or because of culture or because of a reality show or because of what our neighbors did or because of our family. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Amen. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. A little contextual insert right here. In the book of John, 1 John here, he's speaking to the church specifically, but we also need to understand that in the context of love in which is being taught here, it's not just about love in the church. John was dealing with an issue in the church that they were having where they weren't loving each other. They weren't demonstrating love. And if you even back up a handful of verses, there's some pretty painful comparisons about if you don't love someone else the way that God loves you, then you're a murderer in your heart. And I'll let Pastor Ben preach on that another time. But anyway, so we're going to talk about the fluffy stuff today. Anyway, it says in verse 17, "If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?" I'd say that's a little bit of a tough question. I mean, you know, I always challenge people when I'm preaching, because I do it when I study, is don't think about all the people you think that applies to. You know, take your eyeballs and turn them around and look at yourself. Do a little reflection. Do, you know, check your own heart, check your mind, check your spirit. Okay, God, am I doing this? Am I showing compassion? Am I demonstrating love? Am I letting your love speak through my life? Right. Verse 18, it says, "Dear children," and these two verses are kind of the point that I want to make here. Let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show it. Let's show the truth by our actions. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So, you know, like I said before, I know that everybody here has either been either the giver or the receiver of empty words. You know, talk is cheap. Everybody can talk. Everybody can promise. Everybody can say, if you do this, then I'll do that, or I promise this, or these great things will happen. But the reality is that the only human being who wasn't just human being, but was fully God, Jesus Christ, came to this earth. Philippians chapter 2 talks about how he chose, out of obedience to the Heavenly Father, to leave his throne in heaven, to give up all of his divine rights, and to take on the form of a slave, of a servant in human flesh, and take on the life that we experience. The Bible says he's tempted in all the ways that we were tempted, yet he did not sin. He goes through all these things and still lives a perfect, sinless, spotless life. And what is his reward? He chooses to be punished for what you deserve and for what I deserve. And he goes to the cross out of obedience to his Father, is crucified on the cross, takes our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases, our shortcomings, our insecurities, our failures, our lack, our feelings of insignificance, takes them on his shoulders, and he conquers it. He conquered all those things, but he also conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And he did all those things because he loved you so much that he chose to take your place. So here's the deal. Since Jesus took your place, you don't have to pay up anymore. You don't have to pay that price. You don't have to earn your way into God's good graces. You can't. It is scientifically, physically, spiritually, completely impossible to earn the good graces of God. So salvation is what? It's by the grace of God alone. It's through faith in Jesus Christ alone.
Right.
Not of our own works, so that man could boast. We can't. We got nothing to brag about. All we got is Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. And it's not just the Bible tells me so. He let love talk through his actions.
Yep.
And so we kind of get this example forming in the life of Jesus. And I want to encourage you. I've been doing this with our church and with other people that I even talk to in conversation. It's, you know, challenge yourself. You know, if you might be on a Bible reading plan, keep going after it. But, man, get into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, and just begin to look at the way that Jesus interacts with people. Don't just read it for the sake of reading it. And don't just say, well, that was a nice story, and that person was healed. Isn't that great? But really, really kind of insert yourself into the stories that take place. Insert yourself into the earthly ministry of Jesus, like you're one of the people in the crowd following along and listening and watching what is taking place. Because I'm telling you, it will give you a whole new reality of who Jesus Christ really is. And that's what began to happen to me. I've been born and raised in church. I'm a church kid. I'm a pastor's kid. I've got all the resources to succeed and all the excuses to not succeed. But by the grace of God, I stand where I stand and for no other reason. But when you begin to read the Gospels in the way as if not just you're a Christian trying to read your Bible, but you are someone who wants to really know who Jesus is, all of a sudden you begin to see things a little differently. The words pop out of the page. The scenarios come to life like it's a movie. And we're in a movie theater right now, but like it's a movie in front of you in 3D without the extra charge for the glasses. They probably cost them 25 cents to make. Anyway, charge you $4 more for 3D glasses. That's messed up. Anyway. But all of a sudden, things come to life. And you see, Jesus interacts with the sinners. I'm putting out quotation marks. But even almost sarcastically, even in the Scripture, it refers to dirty sinners. You know the repulsing people that are ungodly. You know, and you see, okay, how does he interact with those that people thought were sinners? And how do you interact with people who thought that they were righteous? You know, you begin to see interaction with people. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, religious leaders of that day. And Jesus let love talk equally to the sinner as much as he did to the religious leader. But he did it in a way that would expose their heart and bring them in light of what truth really is. You'll see the grace of come through Jesus a lot more lavishly to those who were, quote unquote, the sinners. And then you would see him speak quite a bit more truthfully and harshly to those who thought they had it figured out.
Right.
See, I'm the Pharisee. That's me. I thought I had it figured out. I wasn't the person who felt unworthy. I was a person who thought I'd done all the right things. Jesus, you know, I deserve a few things from you, God, because, you know, in my long, expansive life, come on, 33, in my long life, I have given so much. I haven't given nothing. And Jesus spoke to me. He goes, I went to the cross. I'm like, good point. Good point. You went to the cross. When, you know, I'm trying to tell Jesus how I've sacrificed and what I've given up and how hard it's been for me. And I'm so grateful for the grace of God because I know he's just laughing at me. He's like, really? That sounds really tough. Yeah, remember, I went to the cross. I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden, I started to see things in a whole new light. And it's almost I could see the way that people were so organically responding to Jesus when they were caught in their sin. Like the woman who was caught in adultery and by Jewish custom and law, the law said that she was to be stoned to death. And so Jesus, okay, if whoever is without sin, throw the first stone. And that crowd disappeared pretty quickly. And all of a sudden Jesus said, hey, you know, where are your accusers? Where are the people that are condemning you? Yeah, they're gone. And he didn't just say, okay, and that's my grace, and that's my love. He looked at her and spoke truth. He let love talk. He said, now go and sin no more. Don't go back to what you were doing because I've got purpose for your life. I've got purpose inside of you. Don't just go back because I you said you're sorry and I forgave you. Now you can go back and do it some more. Embrace what I have done for you and now go live the way that I would like you to live.
Right.
Not a legalistic religious life, but a life that is full of the love of God. A life that is full of purpose. And I was praying for the church, praying for Pastors Ben and Rebecca, praying for you guys, even without seeing your faces yet. And I felt like God spoke something to me that, and I don't know if it's something that has been spoken over the city. I don't know the history of Baltimore all that well. Or maybe it's for somebody here, something's been spoken over you that you can't make a difference. You're just trying to get through. You can't make a difference. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not true. You can make a difference, and this is how I know. Jesus came, and he died for people who didn't deserve it. That's you, that's me. That's the world. That's all of history.
Right.
And he didn't just do it so that we could be free of our sin and then party, and then it's going to carry over into heaven, into eternity. He did it because he was giving us an example of the difference that we can make in someone else. Now, yeah, maybe you won't get up in front of thousands in a stadium. Maybe you won't have a microphone. Maybe you will. Maybe your pulpit will be your cubicle. Maybe your pulpit will be the conversation you have with your neighbor when you're cutting grass or raking leaves or you're just outside. Maybe it'll be with someone who the Lord just kind of drops this thought in your mind of, you know, I'm going to buy the coffee of the person behind me. I don't even know who they are. I just want to buy their coffee. But you can make a difference in somebody else's life. You do that through letting the love of God speak through you. Don't get greedy about the love of God for you. Don't think it's just all about you. That's one of the most incredible diseases in the American church is that we are so stinking self-centered. We think everything is about us. We think everything revolves around us. Now, y'all are a new church. You're healthy. You love your pastors. You're here all the time. So this is mainly for, you know, maybe for my church and for some others. But we you know, well, I'm showing up to church because I want to be fed. So, pastor, you better feed me. Pastor, you better do this. Oh, man. And we come in, we have opinions, and we have attitudes, and we have preconceived ideas, and we want to come in, we want to be served, we want to be taken care of, we want our needs met. And we treat the kingdom of God like it's some sort of buffet restaurant, which I'm not opposed to buffet restaurants, but in a spiritual sense, that's how we treat the kingdom of God at times. And God said, hey, I didn't come to this world to be served. I came to be the servant of all. Jesus' entire mission is wrapped up in Luke 19:10. He says, I came to seek out and to save that which was lost. And that's you and that's me. That's purpose. It's even going back to Genesis when God created Adam and Eve and he created them with purpose. He created them with mission. He created them with strategy. He created them intentionally. And I'm here to tell you today that whatever you're going through in your life, embrace the love of Jesus for yourself, but know this, God loved you so that you could go and love someone else.
Right.
And don't just love the way that you think the world says we should love. See, the love of God is selfless.
That's right.
It's pure.
That's right.
It's described as love without a hook. It doesn't have an agenda connected to it. God's not going to love you because he's looking to get something out of you. And once he gets something out of you, he's hitting the road. That's not what God does. You know why? Because it tells me in the book of Romans, there's a passage there that says that when we were still sinners, when we were still in the midst of our sin, Christ died for us. So he wasn't on the cross thinking about you in your best, most heightened spiritual moment. He wasn't thinking about you when you were preaching the gospel and leading people to the Lord or praying for someone who was sick on the street corner or ministering to a homeless person. He was thinking about you on your worst day, your worst moment, your worst instant when you were so consumed with sin and self and all the things that oppose God. That's when Jesus died for you on the cross. That's what he was thinking about. And even in that moment, he says, this is worth it. This is worth it. And this is one of the statements of Jesus when he was on the cross. You read it in the book of Luke. He gets to the end and he goes, it is finished. I love it. It is finished. And he wasn't just talking about his work. He was talking about the power and the success of the enemy over your life. He says, it's finished. It's done. The enemy no longer has power over your life. Too often we give power back though, right? Why? Because of doubt, because of fear, because of insecurity, because somebody told you you couldn't do it. Because somebody spoke a word to you, whether it was a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, or somebody growing up who wasn't really nice, maybe even a family member. They said, you'll never be this, you'll never be that, you're going to amount to nothing, you'll never be successful. Man, those are just lies.
Yeah.
And we buy into that stuff too often.
Yep.
I love it. Mm-hmm. We know what real love is because Jesus showed us.
Right.
John 15:13, it says that there is no greater love than for one to lay down his life for one's friend. Again, that pattern. John 3:16, we see it all the time, you hear it all the time. At the Ravens games, guys got them on poster boards, John 3:16. You know, kicking field goals, and there's John 3:16. You see it every time. For God loved the world so much that he what? That he gave. And he didn't just give a little sacrifice. He didn't just give a little payment.
Right.
He gave what? The most valuable thing
right.
that he could possibly give. And it was his son and the life of his son. God loved the world so much that he gave. Giving and generosity was the response of God to the world's largest problem. He gave his only son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, that is powerful.
Right.
That's reality. And so when I look at City Bible Church here in Baltimore, Pastors Ben and Rebecca, I look, I see your faces. I don't just see the 20, 30, 40 people that are in here and the children that are hearing about Jesus. I see the multitudes. I see the people that you are going to impact. I see the people that because of what is inside of you, the love of God that you have experienced, doesn't matter whether you've gone to Bible college, doesn't matter whether you have 2/3 of the Bible memorized, it doesn't, which we don't, and it doesn't, well, Ben, Pastor Ben does, but everyone else, you know, it doesn't matter whether you've been perfect, it doesn't matter what you did yesterday, come on. The love of God has been shown to us. If you receive the love of God into you, then go out and share that love. See, God doesn't give in small portions. He gives abundantly.
Yeah. Right.
He gives. He is able to give above and beyond anything that you can even think of. Mm-hmm. And so if God's going to pour his love out on you in a way that just overflows out of you, it's not so that you can store the love of God for yourself for another time.
Right.
It's not a rainy day fund for God's love. It's so that the love of God pours out of you and spills out onto those around you. So maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a, hey, God loves you. Maybe it's the Lord spoke something to you. You know, I noticed you're on crutches and, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe that God heals. Is it okay if can I pray for you? I mean, I realize, I mean, even for myself, there are moments where I'm like, really, God? You want me to what? Whew, okay. All right. And I'm like shaking, like, hi. You know, just voice starts cracking. It's horrible. It's horrible. You know, but you know what? It's just responding in that moment and allowing the abundance of God's love that he has given to you
right.
to come outside of you so that it begins to impact people around you. And people all over, whether it's Baltimore, whether it's Kalispell, Montana, whether it's Richmond, Virginia, whether it's Portland, Oregon, people are dying without hope. They're dying because they've never been loved. They've been abused. They've been manipulated. They've been taken advantage of. And God came and laid it all down to show love. And you know what he did? This is the thing that I love about my God, the thing I love about Jesus Christ. He didn't just, when he went back to heaven, he didn't just kind of go like this and say, boom, it's done. You like that? Jesus shows over, I'm out. Floats back up to heaven, disciples are standing there staring up. Well, that was fun. All right, guys, let's go fishing. You know, he said, I'm going to send my spirit to be with you and to be inside of you. So that you can go out and do the things that you have seen me done and do, you know what, you guys are going to do even more. You're going to do more than what you have seen me do. And I think about that. I'm like, how in the world could I, a messed up individual, I know me and you know you, how could I possibly be used by God to do more than Jesus did? Mm-hmm. He says, no, you're going to do more. And he institutes the church. He creates the church. And he even promises, you know, I think the Apostle Peter, in that moment, he was having a little conversation with Jesus. And he was having, I think, some doubts about himself. And says, Peter, you know, and he's speaking to Peter specifically in this moment, encouraging him about how what Peter's going to do and how he's going to be okay. You're going to be strong. You're going to do well. And then Jesus reassures him. He says, now, upon this rock. I don't think he was talking about the rock of Peter. Peter's a man, he was a limited man, but upon the rock of Jesus Christ, he goes, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
Right.
So here's the deal. Jesus wants to grow this church. Jesus wants to build City Bible Church here in Baltimore. He wants to build the churches all around Baltimore. Your pastor is working hard not just to meet people and to lead you and to love you and to share the love of God, but even in talking of how he's reached out and he's connected to other pastors and encouraging them and they're encouraging him. And God is doing a work in Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm telling you, I want to speak prophetically to you if you would hear it, that God wants to do something in and through this church that is bigger than anything that you could even imagine right now.
Right.
So allow God to stretch your spirit and to stretch your vision for what this church can become and even for what your part can become within it. You know, get behind your pastors, serve them, support them, get behind the vision. And these are people who aren't just showing up with some crazy idea. These are proven servants of the Lord who have literally given up everything for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. They're here, and in being here, they're letting love talk to you and to this whole city. And so I want to encourage you today as I wrap it up, and I want to pray for you. But again, if you take anything away from today, it's embrace this mission, this anthem, even if you will, of let love talk. Love spoke to you, didn't he? And he says, I don't care who you are. I'm giving my life up for you. Now that you've received my love, go out into the world around you and demonstrate that exact same love.
Right.
Let us show the truth by our actions. Mm-hmm. Let us show the truth by our actions. Can I pray for you this morning? Do me a favor and just kind of close up your Bibles. And if it's okay, can I even have you stand up and so it's been awesome to be with you all today, and I can't tell you how excited I am about this church and about the faces that I see here and the potential that exists inside this room and how passionate I am in believing in your pastors and who they are and what God has placed in their hearts, the tears that they have shed for this city, the sweat that has poured out of their pores for this city. And that's even before they even got here. How much more even now? But you know what? I can even see it in you. I see God birthing something in you. And if you will do me a favor, just take your hand and just kind of place it on your heart. And I want you to pray for yourself. I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to pray for yourself. And this is what I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to say, God, expand my heart. Mm-hmm. Expand my mind. Open my heart to see things the way that you see them. Help me to see the world around me, not in a way that it's about me,
right,
but in a way that it's about those around me.
Right.
God, help me to make a difference in my family. Help me to make a difference in my neighborhood. Help me to make a difference in my workplace, in my community. Mm-hmm. Father, I just thank you so much for your love. God, I thank you so much that you loved us in the midst of our sin and our wickedness so much,
yes,
that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to come down to this earth to endure the things that we endure and to conquer those things. Jesus, you showed us that it was possible. You showed us that even in a messed up world, that we can make a difference. Why?
Yes.
Because we're obedient to the Father. You said that I do only what the Father tells me to do.
Yes.
And then you came down and did it, and you gave us the same commission to go out into the world and to preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, yes, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching these new disciples to do everything that you had commanded us. Now, God, I pray today for every person here, for every man, every woman, for all of the children, for Pastors Ben and Rebecca, Lord, that you would fill them so full of your love, of your heart, of your vision. God, help this church to see people the way that you see them. Father, help them to see this city the way that you see it, God. And I pray that you would begin to birth something in them that begins to take place today.
Yes, God.
God, not weeks from now, not months from now, not years from now,
right,
but even today, God, as we go to restaurants, as we go home, as we interact with people, Lord, that we would begin to see people the way that you do. Give us divine appointments. Give us opportunities. Give us power by your Spirit to open our mouths and to speak love. And through our actions and our attitudes and our body language, our gestures, God, to let love talk through us to the world around us, Lord. Father, I pray for any person here, God, who's doubting themselves today, who's living in fear, who's believing lies that have been spoken into their lives. And I pray that you would set them free for that today.
Yes.
God, that you would begin to abolish the lies that were spoken and begin to pour your love,
yes,
pour your truth, Lord God, into their life.
Yes.
That they are called, they are chosen, they are good enough simply because you chose them. Yes. Not because of what they've done, but because of who they are in you, Lord.
Yes, God.
Father, we thank you for your saving power. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we just ask you to bless everything that is said and done today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen.